Daniel 7 and 8 aren't too hard to understand, right? Much of the interpretation is given by the angels. They are, in fact, both expounding upon the dream of Nebuchadnezzar's image of a man in varying metals. While Nebuchadnezzar saw the preceding nations after him as metals, Daniel saw them as beasts. Chapter 7 deals with how these nations will be militarily until the time of the end. Chapter 8 deals with how two of these nations will treat the nation of Judah. The winged lion, like the gold head, is Babylon. It being given the heart of a man relates to Nebuchadnezzar going from beast to man in chapter 4. The lopsided bear is Persia, with the Persians being the higher shoulder and the Medes being the lower shoulder. The Aramaic word for bear is the same as the Hebrew, dab, and relates to the slowness of a bear. Persia was slow and methodical as it took out its enemies one by one. The three bones in its mouth represent the three nations it had devoured: Babylon, Egypt, and Lydia. The leopard, by contrast, represented the exceedingly fast Greek Empire, which, through Alexander the Great, conquered the known world in a mere 10 years. After his death in a drunken orgy in Babylon, his kingdom was split into four amongst his four generals, represented by the four heads, and the expanse of those kingdoms is represented by the four wings. The fourth unnamed beast is most likely a crocodile, based upon the Aramaic word emtani, translated terrible, and its correlation to the red dragon of Revelations. The fourth beast is obviously the Roman Empire, corresponding to the iron of the image. The ten horns likewise can correspond to the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image, and represent either 10 literal kings, or figuratively, a multitude of kings, which may be considered Roman, but are relatively weak in comparison. Three of these kings fall under the authority of a new horn, with eyes and a mouth. This little horn is the papacy, that pretends to have eyes like that of the Most High, which it terms the Holy See. But the vision declares that it has the eyes of a weak and mortal man. The little horn uses its mouth to speak words against the Most High. The three horns which fell were the Exarchate of Ravenna, the Kingdom of Lombardy, and the State of Rome. The Triregnum, or Triple Crown, is a testament to the temporal reign of the Pope. That's what the Pope wears, not today, but beforehand. Today, the Pope no longer wears this crown, since he has no more temporal power. This man even has the audacity to change times and seasons, which Daniel states that the Most High does in chapter 2. The Church adopted the Roman solar calendar, which Pope Gregory XIII altered to align with the solstices in 1582. This solar calendar still bears the names of its Roman pagan deities and emperors. Even the English words that we use for the weeks, the days of our weeks, are no different, as each one is pagan in origin. Sunday, Sunday, Monday, Moon Day. Tuesday is Tyr's Day. Wednesday is Odin's Day. Thursday is Thor's Day. Friday is Freya's Day. And Saturday is Saturn's Day. Even the planets in the sky are named after Roman gods. You got Jupiter, Mars, Mercury. They're all Roman gods. Even the word that we use, God, to describe the deity, is pagan in origin. The word God is from the Germanic Gott, which is the name of a deified tribal leader from which the German barbarians known as the Goths originate. Norse mythology identifies Gott as one of the names of Odin, and they call him Odin Gott. All of his progeny, which he is the supreme deity, also known as the Valfather, his progeny are also equally Gott. Like all people from Adam are called Adam, all people from Israel are called Israel, all people from Gott are called Gott. And this is where we get the name God. The little horn thus blasphemes the Most High with paganism and the altering of times and seasons and names. At the end of the vision, Daniel witnesses a great trial in which thousands upon thousands come to give witness against the fourth beast. The fourth beast, that is to say, the Roman papal state, will be utterly destroyed, but the other nations and their regents will be allowed to live for a time, but their dominions shall be given to the saints to rule. This vision shows the fall of Rome once and for all, and the reign of the saints over the mortal nations after the judgment of the nations by the Ancient of Days, manifested in the flesh by the Son of Man, our Lord and Messiah. Chapter 8 deals with how these nations are viewed from above. Matthew 25, in the parable of the goats and the sheep, explicates how our Lord will judge the nations, sheep being good and goats being bad. Persia is deemed as a ram, or male sheep, with one horn greater than the other, representing the Persians over the Medes. Persia restored Judah and allowed the temple and the city of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. While not fully under its own control, the Jews prospered under Persian rule. We can testify to this fact because in the beginning of this chapter, Daniel uses Hebrew instead of Aramaic. The Aramaic language represents the Jews in captivity. Under the Persian regime, the Jews spoke Hebrew, as the books written during Persian rule are written in Hebrew, and not in the Aramaic spoken during the Babylonian captivity. Under Greece and Rome, the Jews again largely spoke Aramaic. Hebrew was only spoken amongst the Jewish elite in the times of our Lord, reminiscent of the later disparity between Latin and the common vernacular within the church. The Persian ram was killed by the goat. As a sheep is obedient to the ways of the shepherd, goats are stubborn and do as they wish. According to the parable, the goat nations will be destroyed and the sheep nations will be allowed to live. The large horn is Alexander the Great, who is broken in Babylon. The four horns represent the splitting of the conquered regions of Greece into four kingdoms, helmed by Alexander's four generals. Now many of us would identify the little horn growing from one of the horns as Rome. And indeed, there is a very good case for this. In order to invoke discussion, I will offer an alternative interpretation. The nations are represented by beasts, and the horns are the ruling authorities, regimes, or kings stemming from that nation. It seems necessary that Rome itself be represented by a different beast, such as another goat. The angel explains that this is a king which rises at the latter end of the Grecian kingdom, out of one of the other horns. Thus, the little horn would seem to be a Grecian ruler, just as the little horn with eyes in chapter 7 is a Roman ruler, i.e. the Pope. The vision relates the little horn growing toward the east, the south, and the Holy Land. This easily applies to the Seleucid Empire, one of the four horns. The little horn thus represents one of these kings who existed toward the latter days of that kingdom. According to the statements of the vision, there is one king who fits the description to a T, Antiochus IV, who stole the temple's treasures, tore down Jerusalem's city walls, installed a high priest who paid him to, slaughtered the Jews, ordered the scriptures to be destroyed, brought in soldiers to lay with prostitutes inside the temple in order to defile it, forced the Jews to worship Greek gods, established the Acra, or fortress, within the original city of David, and invoked the death penalty for those who observed circumcision, the Sabbath, or any other religious feast or sacrifices to the Father. Though not inspired, the Maccabean historical books say this about Antiochus. He thought that Judea was in revolt. Raging like a wild animal, he set out from Egypt and took Jerusalem by storm. He ordered his soldiers to cut down without mercy those whom they met and to slay those who took refuge in their houses. There was a massacre of young and old, a killing of women and children, a slaughter of virgins and infants. In the space of 3 days, 80,000 were lost, 40,000 meeting a violent death, and the same number being sold into slavery. Not long after this, the king sent an Athenian senator to force the Jews to abandon the customs of their ancestors and live no longer by the laws of God, also to profane the temple in Jerusalem and dedicate it to Olympian Zeus. and that on Mount Gerizim to Zeus the hospitable, as the inhabitants of the place requested. They also brought into the temple things that were forbidden, so that the altar was covered with abominable offerings prohibited by the laws. A man could not keep the Sabbath or celebrate the traditional feast, nor even admit that he was a Jew. At the suggestion of the citizens of Ptolemais, a decree was issued ordering the neighboring Greek cities to act in the same way against the Jews, obliged them to partake of the sacrifices, and put to death those who would not consent to adopt the customs of the Greeks. It was obvious, therefore, that disaster impended. Thus, two women who were arrested for having circumcised their children were publicly paraded about the city with their babies hanging at their breasts and then thrown down from the top of the city wall. Others, who had assembled in nearby caves to observe the Sabbath in secret, were betrayed to Philip and all burned to death. All this took place in 168 BC. And at the close of that year, Antiochus IV offered a pig to Zeus inside the temple, pushing the Jews to rebel in what is known as the Maccabean Revolt. 2300 days, or approximately 6 years and 4 months, after the defiling of the temple, the Maccabean Revolt succeeds in 162 BC, 6 years. And Seleucid general Lysias allows the temple to be cleansed and the Jews to practice their religion and reinstitute sacrifices. Antiochus IV died suddenly of disease in 164 BC, fulfilling the prophecy that he would be broken not by human hands. Now, this would be an actual realization of the vision. But there is a second interpretation. Yeshua is deemed the male lamb which was slain. Maturation of the body of that lamb, in other words, a ram, must then be the ecclesia of the Messiah. The ram of believers was skewered by Grecian philosophy and customs in what has become known as the Hellenizing of the Jews. While the physical temple was cleansed of the Greek paganism in 162 BC, the spiritual temple inside the Jews was still diluted with darkness, evident in the Pharisees and Sadducees. These Platonic doctrines later infiltrated the Christian community during and after the days of the apostles. The religious purity symbolized by the speaking of Hebrew in verses 1 through 12 has become the degrading of doctrine emphasized by the reemergence of the Aramaic tongue from verse 13 to the close of the book. If this is true, then the transgression of desolation, which is different from the abomination of desolation, caused by the Greek goat, is ongoing at the time of Yeshua. The very stamp of this desolation was the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, spoken of in Daniel chapter 9 and affirmed by Christ in Matthew chapter 24. If the transgression that makes desolate the defilement of the temple by Antiochus represents the defilement of the spiritual temple inside the Jewish man by Greek myth and philosophy, then the culmination of that desolation, the destruction of the temple, and the abomination set up in place represents the abandonment of the Father by the Jews. Indeed, the old temple has been razed to the ground. A new temple, the body of Christ, has been built, which are those who put their faith in the Lord. So where do we mark? So where do we mark when the Jews became desolate? The dry ground from which the root of Jesse grew. The angel asks, how long from the transgression? The transgression, as we have seen, is at 168 BC. If we place the date again at 168 BC, being that this is the year Antiochus IV desolated the physical temple, we must then calculate 2300 times, making a day a year, from 168 BC. But this is not 2300 solar years, like the Babylonian years or the Julian years, of 365.25 days, but rather the biblical reckoning of a time at 360 days. Calculating 2300 biblical times is approximately 2,267 solar years. Adding 1 year, because there is no year zero, we arrive at the year 2100 AD. Now this date represents the cleansing of the sanctuary and the reinstitution of sacrifices. Thus it represents the start of the millennial reign. What this means then is that between now and 2100 AD, there will be the judgment of the saints, the repulsion of Gog, the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, the battle of Armageddon, and the judgment of the nations. If this date is correct, it represents the cleansing of the world of all that is pagan and the ushering in of 1,000 years of peace. It also means that our Lord and Messiah is very soon to return, most likely within our lifetimes. Thank you.